Hello and welcome to the Parents Survival Kit podcast, from surviving to thriving in your household. My name is Gene Schwalen. Next to me, my beautiful bride, Dr. Sonia Schwalen, pediatric psychologist expert and nationally certified school psychologist. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that is very dear to myself and Dr. Schwalen. It's something that we really are very intentional about in our own personal marriage. So we're going to kind of get a little bit personal in some areas today. And this will be something that we can build on for other episodes. So I'm saying that in a way being kind of vague, because my wife has no idea what I'm going to bring up today. And it's going to be really fun. So even before we got here, I asked her if she knew what a certain word meant. And then she started Googling it. And I'm yelling at her, don't Google that if you don't know what it means, because I don't want you to know what it means. So the word is conjugal. We'll talk about that here in a little bit as well. And our producer over here is dying laughing now. So if you hear any laughter in the background, that's Lee. So, but we're going to talk about marriage and really what that means to us, and some things that can definitely help all of our married couples out there. And even those who may not be married yet, maybe you're living together, maybe you have kids, but not married officially. There's all types of scenarios out there, and there's definitely going to be some great information that hopefully you guys can take home and go from surviving to thriving.
So let's break that down just a little bit, because I think it's going to help parents understand the connection between a thriving marriage and a thriving household.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So number one, if you make the woman happy, happy wife, happy life. You know, no, I'm just kidding. You know, one thing that Dr. Schwalen and I focus on, and we always have, even before we got married, when we were just dating, is God first, marriage second, and then family and kids and family third, and then everything else falls underneath that. So we know that when our marriage is thriving, our kids are happy, they see us happy, and they thrive as well. It makes a big, huge difference, obviously, in the household. If we're getting along, then everyone else seems to kind of follow suit.
And I think, you know, when we say God first, we're talking about the fact that there's something greater than us. There's something bigger than us that is actually what we choose to focus on. That's key here, because as a psychologist, I do couples counseling a lot. It happens. I'm treating the child, but then I end up having to treat the parents and delve into issues of their marriage and communication. And ultimately, there are several sessions that just turn out to be couples sessions, because it's needed. And so to meet the need, I go there. And a lot of the time, couples are looking to their spouse to meet every need that they have and continuously discuss or feel unsatisfied, disappointed, or let down. And when me and you, right, we put God first and we understand there's a bigger purpose here, there's something greater than us, but there's also a different way to get our needs met, because we invest in our own spiritual relationship with God. Then it takes the pressure off, right? We look up instead of to each other for our needs to be met. And it allows us to be more free with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it comes down to, you know, marriage is hard enough as it is. I mean, you get married, you move in with somebody or whatnot, and you find out all these things you had no idea about before you got married, before you moved in together. And it's like, oh my goodness, what did I just jump into? I mean, I can tell you stories about the first few weeks of us being in the same household after we got married. And I'm a neat freaking, just to be just quite frank, she certainly is not. So there was, you know, a lot of things we had to.
I'm really proud of that.
She is very proud of that. But anyway, so what we want to really talk about.
To prioritize the important things in life.
I want to talk about really the basis of man and woman and marriage and what that really means, because, you know, one thing that we're hit over the head with all the time, men and women, boys and girls, is love, 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 blah, blah, love, love, love. And of course, women, they want all this kind of love, and love is, you know, through diamonds and flowers and chocolates and everything else that's out there that's advertised and marketed. But and even in the church, they talk about love. We want love. We want love. We want love. Well, one thing that Dr. Schwalen and I did before marriage is we went to a marriage seminar called Love and Respect by Dr. Eggerich and his wife. So we're going to talk about some of those things that we learned and things that we put into practice even to this day, even though that was years ago. But the one thing that really hit home to me was the reality of what's called love and respect. And if you look at the Bible and you dive into the Bible, Ephesians 5:33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So, it goes into deeper detail through different verses, but ultimately what the Bible teaches, and really even bigger than that, how we were made, our DNA, is that women want love and men want respect. And what does that really mean? So I want to break that down today. What does love mean to you? Women want love. What's love mean to you?
Well, I think of resources like the five love languages, right? Or so, you know, love isn't for you. It's when you choose to love someone, or you say that you love someone, the whole concept is that you're willing to do whatever it takes to speak the other person's love language so that you can help them feel loved. You go out of your way to communicate that love to them. And the five love languages, and this is also from a Christian author, you know, are words of affirmation, physical affection, quality time, gift giving, and acts of service. Those are the love languages they talk about. So I definitely think about that. I also think, just from my work in couples therapy, a lot of the times women assuming that their husbands really kind of secretly hate them or don't really love them.
Sometimes we kind of do.
Like, I don't feel like he really loves me. He doesn't understand me. And so what they're talking about is more of that deeper emotional connection as being a way that they feel like their husband loves them.
Yeah, well, I think the love languages is how do we really show love and give love through different acts or different ways. But what you're talking about through couples therapy is really more the emotional thing. And I think, you know, based on Ephesians 5:33, I think it's really more the emotional side of things too. Like, women want to be cherished and just, you know, ultimately we're told to hold our wives blameless and everything, and women are to respect their husband. You know, so when we look back at, if any couple looks back when they first meet, you know, you have the courting period where the guy courts the woman and things are great. Then you have the honeymoon phase, which can last for a week or a year or 5 years, depending on the couple and how intentional they are in their marriage. But if you really think about it, when we first met, there's a few things that are really, really important. We talked on the phone. We text back and forth nonstop. You would respond to me right away. I'd send you little love messages and flirt with you nonstop. You would respond right away and you'd flirt back. And there was all this communication. We could not possibly go to bed each night without talking to each other on the phone, at least for a minute, to say goodnight and I love you and blah, 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 blah. You know, all these, you know, conversations that we had to have throughout the day. First thing in the morning, you know, I'm calling you right away and saying good morning. You know, those things happen, right? Nonstop. And then as we move throughout our relationship, as time goes on, those things start to dwindle away.
Well, we got married, we had children, right? Like, let's put it out there, because the audience out there, that's the experience.
Yeah, we started a business, and, you know, I mean, there all these other things start taking precedence over really our relationship that's supposed to be put first under God. You know, and so when I talk about, when we talk about respect here also, I think what a lot of women miss, because they just don't know. I mean, like I said, even, you know, as kids, as we go through church, those who are in church, I mean, we're taught love, love, love. Men ultimately, if you really look at the spiritual side of things, men ultimately just really do want respect. I want to be respected. I want to be held high. You know, a man would go to war for his wife, for his family. A man would put his life down. You know, men will do things that women may not necessarily do in a certain sense. That's just how we're the hunter. You know, men want to be respected because they are the head of the household. They are the strong. They are the ones, you know, the protector and whatnot. So I'm gonna
jump in here, because I think for women, that's really hard for them to hear. Okay, most women, when they hear that, they shut down. It's like, bye. I'm signing off on this, like, whatever. So before you turn us off, let me just go the softer route here. Or the way that I explain it, like in couples therapy, right? So if I say to a couple, let's talk about love and respect. Most women can very easily identify what makes them feel loved. It's really actually quite interesting that it happens over and over again with couples that I see. They know what doesn't make them feel loved, and they know what does make them feel loved, okay? And then if I ask a woman, well, what makes your husband feel loved? They don't really know how to answer that question. It's really interesting. And so I'll say, well, let's not think about it like that then. Let's talk about how do you speak your husband's language? What if we moved it away from love language and spoke respect language? And automatically, I get light bulbs going off. It's like, yeah, my husband does say a lot that he doesn't think I respect him, or he just wants a little bit more respect around here, or the kids don't make him feel respected. And when I talk to kids about it, like in their brother-sister relationship or even in the parent-child relationship, I'll say, what does your dad usually say that he wants to see more of as a sign of respect? And the light bulbs go off. They know exactly what to tell me because it makes them think about those moments when dad uses the word respect. Now, usually when dads are using the word respect and they're showing up for couples therapy, right? We're already in a tense situation. Dads are typically using the respect, or even the word respect, or husbands are using the word respect as a more like negative meaning. No one respects me, or I just need to get a little bit of respect around here or whatever. So when I introduce this, I say, what's your love language? And to the wife, I'll say, what's your respect language? And I'll say the same to dad. What's your love language? Dig deep. I want you to really figure that out. But what's your respect language? And men will say things that you would never imagine. You know, I just want dinner to be cooked. That helps me feel respected when I get home from work. Or I want the house to look a little bit tidy before I get home, because that's just what helps me feel respected, because I'm providing and I want them to take care of the things in the home and all the things that I'm providing for them, whatever it is. But there, it's really, really interesting to break it down like that. It's more, I've noticed the wife is more willing to accept it. Well, you have a language. Why can't he have a language?
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. You know, it's one of those things to where, first of all, men have a very hard time communicating what they really feel and what they really need. And that's just how we are. We're, you know, men of very few words, and that's very typical. And again, there's always going to be exceptions to all these things we talk about. But, you know, regardless of who makes the most money in the household or whatnot, men need to feel like they are the head of the household, that they, you know, they are providing, that they are respected, that they are doing a great job taking care of the family and all those things. I mean, that's just really, that's how we're built. And so without that, we really lose our sense of value and even place in the household. It's like, you know, we're basically, you know, not needed. You know, if we can't be that provider and that protector, then, you know, then we're not needed. I mean, we don't need flowers and candies, and we don't need, you know, sweet little sugar kisses on the cheeks and all those things. I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of us love those things. We do, but it's not what we need down to our very core, where women do need those things to their very core. So, you know, one thing that we talked about, you know, whenever you're dating and whatnot, there's the conversations, and there is the hand holding and all the lovey dovey stuff that goes on. But I want to really break down ultimately. So once we are married, you know, really what women want and what men want. And sometimes it's hard for us to really say these things and understand these things, but I think it's very important. So, you know, once the marriage it has been going on for a while and the honeymoon phase is over, you know, as soon as people get married, let's talk about that, the honeymoon phase. What do we see a lot during the honeymoon phase? We see a lot of conversations still going on, a lot of walking and talking and holding hands and then love and lovey-dovey.
Cooking together.
Doing all kinds of things together. You can't be apart. Oh my gosh, we were apart for 7 hours. That's the longest ever. You know, I just got back from work. You know, and there's also typically, there's a lot of sex going on, you know? as soon as you get married, there's a whole lot of sex going on. Some usually daily, right? Sometimes more than once a day. And then once that subsides, what happens? Now it's, you know, we're lucky if we can get it once a week in some cases, you know? So I really want to talk about that because it really makes a lot of sense of how we're really filled up. And so one thing we learned, and we find it so true, and we still find it so true to this day, no matter where we're at in our marriage, at different times, sometimes you hate me, sometimes you love me. Sometimes you don't really like me at all, but, one thing that's true is that men want sex and women want to talk. They just want to talk. They want to be heard. They want to sit down with their man and talk. And we find this so true. When my wife is the happiest is whenever I come home from work or we're done with work for the day and she wants me to ask her, how was your day? And really ask to really want to know how her day is, not just to hear the word fine. Okay, great, honey. Oh, no, honey, I'm not done yet. I want to tell you how my day was. Sit down because you got about 35, 45 minutes of some good ear conversation and let her talk. That's what women want, right?
I mean, yeah, in a very simplistic, you know,
right
way. It's that emotional connection. It's that eye contact. It's the man not coming in and trying to fix all her problems. It's actually him saying, tell me more.
tell me more.
Pay attention and figure out, you know, how to keep track of every single detail I throw in there.
Yeah, all the spider webbing that goes on and going from one person to another. I'm sorry, are you talking about Susie? No, you're talking about somebody else now? I'm sorry, what? You know, and we find that so true. Women just want to talk about all these different details. You know, but yet when it comes to a guy, you know, I can go on a weekend getaway, you know, with one of my buddies and we could go hunting where it's just isolated and we're just hanging out together all weekend with no distractions except for a deer stand and maybe a deer that passes by and a gunshot that may go off like once or twice or not, you know, and so we have plenty of time for conversation and deep conversation. I come home and my wife's like, what did you guys talk about? Nothing. What do you mean nothing? What'd you talk about? Nothing. I don't know. And the real answer is we did talk about nothing that was important and I can't really remember and I don't really care to remember because it really wasn't that big of a deal. And if it was, it's long past and gone anyway, you know, and that's really true. I mean, if we really think about how men can go fishing for hours and not say one word to each other, but just enjoy the fact that they're there shoulder to shoulder fishing. That's really all that matters. You know, if you look at bars, I mean, when bars were created back in the late, I don't know, 1800s or whenever they were developed over in Europe, they were just the bar, one single big piece of mahogany wood, chairs, you know, at the bar, and men would go because women weren't allowed to go to the bars in those days. It was just all for men, and they would sit at the bar shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, they didn't need the eye contact. They didn't even really need the conversation.
Oh, how's it going? Good. How's your wife? Great. All right, man. How's work? Oh, just another day. And that's just how it is with guys. So we're not used to all this conversation being, you know, face to face and just sitting there listening for hours. It's just really hard work for us.
You know, one thing that stood out from that Love and Respect conference we went to was when Dr. Egerich said, you know, he kind of makes jokes. It's really funny. I think it's funny because it's so true
so and true,
people just
funny.
Laugh because they know how true it is. The joke is, you know, women are always like, he wants it again, like again, oh my gosh, you know, and it kind of gets to that point. And if you think about what women want to do, which is talk and connect and find intimacy in that way, men are usually like, again, we have to talk about what the kids did again, right? But every day is a new day, and of course, we want to process all of it.
Absolutely, and if you think about it, I mean, men would be happy with getting it every day again. But women want to talk every day again.
Right.
So there's that give and take balance, you know. And the problem that we have is we're always trying to fit so many things in. Life gets hectic. We're way too busy. But yet, if you go back and think about it, before we got married and all this craziness happened, we weren't too busy for all those things.
Even though we were really busy people, right?
Even though we were really busy people.
We still made time for each other.
Yeah. I mean, the kids were still there. I mean, we're a blended family, so I still had kids. I was coaching and doing a whole lot of other things, and we still made time, which can happen to this day, right? So right. It just comes down to really just being intentional in our marriage. The one thing I wanted to talk about is something that we also learned, like, through another conference. We've learned a lot through these marriage conferences, which has really helped us in our marriage and staying strong and you know, just being very intentional, forgiving one another, you know, as God forgave us. But there's one thing also. Let's see here. I really enjoy this this verse, and I think everyone's going to really enjoy it too, as much as me, right? So it's 1 Corinthians 7:5. It says, "Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." That we learned some things about that, you know, with, you know, women, if you're not giving, you know, your men what they want, you know, there's going to be the possibility, I mean, with other women catching their eye, not that they're trying to do that and whatnot, but Satan is always at work, and he's always at work in marriages more than anything, because that's the closest thing to the love that Christ had for the Father. So, of course, he's going to play in that playground more than anywhere else, right? So there's things that women and men both need that husbands and wives have to be very intentional about providing each other, because women will go find it somewhere else as well, potentially, if they're not getting it at home. So we've got to be very intentional to really give each other really what each of us really want and need in different ways.
Okay, so now I can add to that. So, you know, one thing I like to really talk to couples about in relation to this is, you know, by the time they come to me again, there's a great deal of tension. There's a lot of issues.
They're in a crazy cycle.
Yeah, they're in the crazy cycle if we're going to go with that love and respect conference. So moms, especially if they are the primary caregivers to the kids while dad's working all day, they're very, very good about meeting the needs of their children throughout the day. In fact, so much so that they put themselves last, typically is the case. And I will look at both in the couple and I will say, you know, dads are usually really good at putting themselves last too. Like, they're pretty good caretakers when they are involved during the day. And so I'm usually able to kind of speak to both of them about that, in terms of, you know, you're there for your child, this little dependent on you for every little emotional, physical need, all their comfort, all of it is coming from you. And from a psychological perspective, essentially as adults, we're just bigger versions of us when we were kids, and we're like mature enough and our brain is developed enough now to like also have to deal with all the stuff we went through as kids. And so what we went through as kids, what we learned or didn't learn, affects the marriage. Okay. So we do come with baggage. And so ultimately, wherever your spouse's parents didn't provide is also going to be a big gaping issue in the marriage. Okay. And so I'll bring that up, and I have to talk to, you know, a husband and wife about, you know, the way you parent your child and you try to meet their needs. I want you to kind of see the inner child in your spouse, because now it's your job to try to meet some of those needs, or it's God's job, right? And so if you're not going to God with some of those things, or praying on them, or actively trying to work through them and heal them, it's going to spill out all over the marriage. And so Emerson always said, Dr. Eggerich always said, what's the issue when the issue is not really the issue? So we can fight about the messy kitchen all day long, but is this really about the kitchen, or is it your need to feel respected or to feel loved? Like, what is really happening here? To bring it back to the love and respect issue, maybe you take it out on the messy kitchen. What is it about that messy kitchen, maybe from your childhood or whatever? But to help build empathy in a couple so that they actually want to meet each other's needs. Because a lot of times they're tired, they're exhausted from the day, from the work, from the kids. They don't care.
Yeah, and there may be a lot of resentment that's already developed in the marriage, and, you know, why am I going to take care of him, or why am I going to love on her, or whenever, you know, I don't get anything back. And, you know, it comes down to, that's that crazy cycle. If someone doesn't take that initiative step, that first step, It's never going to happen. So that's when it's really, that's when we succeed, because we know that we're doing right by our Father, by doing what is right and what, you know, we're called to do for our spouse.
Right.
And that does make it a lot easier.
So, I mean, this podcast is all about being intentional with your children. And we're talking today about being intentional with your marriage and your spouse.
Yeah, well, and I want to make sure that in the podcast that we're doing is that we're being realistic too, because if we're not healthy in our marriage, we're not going to be healthy in our, you know, chaos with our kids at home. It's just not going to ever happen, you know, and it's going to be that trickle-down effect. I mean, we saw it when we were out a couple of weekends ago at a restaurant. We just saw the trickle-down effect of parenting and whatnot, which was really disheartening. And even though that was an extreme case, we're doing the same thing if we're not being intentional in our marriage and showing our kids what marriage can really look like and how love can really prevail and, you know, being boyfriends and girlfriends, even through marriage. I mean, that's going to be really important for our kids to see. And so we have to be very intentional in what we do. If we want to thrive in our household, we have to thrive in our marriage first. Otherwise, kids are going to see right through it. It's all fake. It's a big...
And they do see right through it. I mean, if there is tension in the marriage, it's going to come out all over the place in the parenting, co-parenting relationship. It's also going to affect the parent-child relationship. And so it's very much connected. I will tell you all the time, I hear couples say, well, yeah, you know, we sleep in separate rooms, or we're just trying to stay together because of the kids. And so everybody's like a glorified roommate. They all have separate lives living on the same roof. But we still try to get together and have dinner, or we'll do things together on the weekends. So the kids aren't really affected. They don't really know, you know, the extent of how bad our marriage is. And that's a bunch of just crap. I'm just going to put that out there, because kids are very intuitive. You know, our guest previously said something like, kids haven't been corrupted by the ways of the world yet. And so they can really just pick up on instincts and feelings. And that's kind of how they read their environments. Yeah. They very much know, right? Even though no one's talking about it, well, that something's going on.
I knew what love really was as a young kid. I knew exactly what it looked like. And it was not from my mom and dad's marriage. It was from my grandma and grandpa. And I saw how he loved, how she respected him like you wouldn't believe. And I saw how he loved her more than anything in the whole wide world. And he would do anything for her. I saw that, you know, over and over again as a kid growing up, and I knew what love was. I was like, wow, that is amazing, man. I want to have a love like that one day. They would never leave each other's side if they couldn't help it. They were, I mean, just, I could give you so many really real examples of what love and respect really looked like, and it was them 100%, and it wasn't from my own parents, which is sad.
Well, and you had that model, right? There are lots of kids out there that don't have anything like that. They have nothing to look to get their... To understand what a marriage that is characterized by love and respect really looks like. And unfortunately, it's much more uncommon in today's world than it is common. Because even in, you know, pretty good, well-functioning marriages, they're not talking about love and respect. They're not going out of their way to be intentional about that or really understand, you know, how to put words to it and talk to their kids about it.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I just, even through our marriage, I saw the difference it made just for you and I, just wanting to be so intentional to give each other what we needed because of how we were made, out of love, you know, for our Father, but love for each other, and just wanting to do that. And sometimes it comes down to just making the decision, even if it's in the beginning, making a decision that, you know, we're going to start doing this starting today. There's the one verse I wanted to mention with that word conjugal that you didn't know what it was at the beginning, you know, earlier today. It's 1 Corinthians 7:3-4. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. You hear that, wives? Likewise. The husband does not have the authority over his own body, but the wife does.
Oh, you hear that, husbands?
I think the husbands get the bigger end of the stick on that one, you know, because of how we're made. You know, men want sex. You know,
and that's not to say women don't, I right? know. But we're just talking in like very simple terms right now.
Yes. If you ask a man what he wants more than anything, it's going to be sex. I mean, it's just how it is. What do women want to do? Let's go for a walk and talk, honey. Let's have dinner and talk, you know, and that's cool. But we have to make the time for each other. All right. Did you have anything you want to close with?
I think that it's great that you brought this up. I think it's really cool that we're putting ourselves as like the model and the example out there. And talking about how the marriage is really the devil's playground. I mean, you know, the church's perspective on it when you're going to certain churches, at least, is that it is an area that the devil wants to rip apart, because if their marriage is not strong, the household doesn't get strong, isn't strong, and then ultimately our society continues to struggle.
Yeah, it affects our kids. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, research about kids and the effects of divorce and single mom, single dad, you know, parenting and all the things that happened. We had some episodes regarding, you know, the just statistics about, you know,
foster kid and incarceration and crime levels and all the different impacts it has when the home is not intact and the marriage is not intact.
Yeah, and the, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, when we look at it, when we come home from work, our day is done, don't we want to come home and just be in love and be respected and have fun? Because you didn't get married. Most people don't get married because they hate each other in the beginning and didn't have any fun together, right? I mean, we had lots of fun. It was exciting. I mean, you know, the women were getting all the talking they wanted in, and the men were lusting. I cannot wait until we get married. And, you know, all these things that happen within the relationship, it's just, it's real stuff, right? So we can still live that every day. There's just ways of doing that. Does it mean every day is going to be easy? Does it mean our days are perfect all the time? Absolutely not.
No, but I will tell you, like, our strategies to make that happen. I mean, we are intentional about spending our quiet time with God. We're in prayer. We are putting Him first, our relationship with Him first, and that keeps us focused, right? And so when we're good with Him, then we can be even better with each other and with our family.
Yeah, you know, we have our morning routines and, you know, trying to keep ourselves as healthy, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, those are very key, you know, things that we work really hard on. And it does make a big difference. I mean, we've got a 3-year-old and almost 2-year-old. I mean, there was a long time where we had 2 under 2 and life was very, very tough. It still is tough, with a 17-year-old and 8-year-old as well. I mean, we have our days and it's a struggle, but we do our best to make time for each other. And when we don't, we get angry at each other and we realize that we're not giving back to each other the way we need to. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, you heard it here. Love and Respect, Dr. Eggeridge. If you haven't heard of it, you can definitely go check that out. Definitely something we would recommend to all couples before you get married. And of course, after you are married, and just do your own research. You know, men, women want love. They want to talk. They want to tell about their day and how great it was and how bad it was and all the things they want to talk about. And men, they get their emotional tanks.
Well, they want respect.
They want respect, and they get their emotional tanks filled up a different way.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining the Parents of Advocate podcast. We will see you next week.